God's word while you're finding your place in John chapter number 5. John chapter number 5, let me say it's good to be back in the Lord's house. If you felt something nudge you already, that would be the Lord. Miss Waylene, honey, so good to see you back. God bless you. Brother J.D., you've been a constant companion to her. Thank you for that. I've got Sister Judy back here, not been here in several weeks because of her surgery. So if you're maybe just getting back from where you've been or whatever, I pray God just gives you a double portion. I do. Brother J.D., we've missed y'all. And just take care of yourselves. If you ever need anything, bless God, you've got deacons that look out after you, and you've got a pastor that loves you. And let's just serve God with our whole heart. Amen. Let's just do that. Let's be bound together by God's common thread of love. And I'm telling you what, that'll conquer everything. That's what Gordon Church used to always preach. He preached about love. And let's go in that, the love of Christ. Tonight, Brother Chris is preaching for Brother Scott up at Yadkin Valley. You pray for him. And Brother Kenny will be preaching here at Calvary. You pray for Brother Kenny. Tim Anderson's on his way home even right now. Calvin and I think Russell's going down there to get Brother Tim to bring him home. But Brother Ronnie Billings is still recovering from a surgery that he had late last night. And you pray for Brother Ronnie and Miss Kathy, and just pray for each other. I don't want to, the Spirit's been moving in the service. I don't want to take anything away from that. So we're going to get right into this. If you've got something, you better say it quickly because we're going to jump right in here. I will make this announcement. There's going to be these cards to be at the front door and the back door on August the 18th. We're going to have a back-to-school rally here at the church house, and you'll get you one of these cards taken to your place of employment, place of business, school, wherever you might go. If you've got a community building toward you want to stick it on, it'll be the 18th Saturday at 6 o'clock, community choir at 5 o'clock. Brother Chris is the host moderator for that. He's invited Brother Larry Adams and Brother Larry Key. So you pray for those two men of God as they will be bringing the message on that evening. That's the back-to-school youth pep rally or whatever Brother Chris has called it. He'll have cards back there and up here. I would invite you now to stand and give reverence to the ring of God's word all over the house of God tonight. I'm telling you what, friends, we've got such an awesome God. But for those that are already saved, we have an awesome responsibility. And I think sometimes, maybe even what Brother John was alluding to, we take that responsibility reckless and careless, and we take it so small. It's a great thing to call yourself a child of the King. That first terminology in the word and the usage of a Christian, it was not a band of honor. It was a derogatory term used at them in Antioch and said, those are Christians. What is that? They're exhibiting the traits of Christ, which at that particular time, that was not something to be proud of. But bless God, nobody in here would have to wear a sleeve band that says, I am a Christian. Bless God, that ought to come out of every pore in your body. Anybody sees you ought to know that that man, he's been with the Lord. He's got to be a child of the King. And so whenever I say this, if you've been in a bad way and you've been impotent, you've been halt, you've been maimed, you've been lame, you can't walk, you're just destitute, you're depressed, whatever the thing might be that has held you back and that holds you down even now. Bless God, there is help, and it's going to be as it comes through this blessed book and through this preacher and that one which loves you, that's sitting beside of you, that's prayed for you, untelling how many times they've prayed for you. I mean, there's a whole lot of little boys like me and you, Brother Ryan, that were lost and dying, going to a devil's hell. But bless God, it was a mama's prayer. It was a grandmother's prayer. It was somebody loving on us and kept on putting us into the place where we could intersect with those old saints of God. I mean, my mama took us to the places where she knew there was going to be a preacher. Hey, it might have been a tobacco patch, but it was the tobacco patch of a preacher, Brother Arley. I don't understand how all that was working together, but boy, it sure framed this young boy into a person had that knew right quickly that I couldn't do this on my own and that I needed a Savior, and that Savior was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And bless God, at the age of 13, whenever He saved me, Brother Woody, He let me grow up and mature in my faith. And then one day He found me faithful, put me into the gospel ministry, and He lets me do that right here with y'all. And what an honor and what a privilege and what a blessing it is, Brother Chris, to be able to be charged with that word. But there's people around you that need to see that, and they need you to stir the waters. They need you to move the waters on their behalf, because some of them, as this man is laid up here for 38 long years, Brother Woody, this man has been lame and he can't do for himself. How long have you been lame? How long have you been destitute? How long have you been depressed? How long have you been in need? And now that you know you're right in the right place to get it, I believe, Brother Tam, the waters are already stirred. I'm feeling something already in my heart. We'll read the scriptures. We're going to read 9 verses this morning. Are y'all good this morning? Amen. Boy, is it not good to be saved? So good to be here. And I didn't just call out Brother JD and Miss Waylene. I love them, and they've not been here in a while. But if you're one that's not been here in a little while, and I just haven't seen you, Lisa, I know y'all were just here, but Miss Lisa's facing surgery. Pray for her. She'll then be out again. I look around, and I don't know who's here and who's not, who's up, who's down, who's in, who's out. But you're here today, and you're not here by some accident. You're here at a divine crossroads by Almighty God to do a work in your heart, if you'll let Him. The Bible says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. And Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case. And he said unto him, wilt thou be made whole? And folks, I would ask you that question this morning. Wilt thou be made whole? Do you not want to get healing? Do you not want to get help? Do you not want to get deliverance for that holds you back? Do you not want to get comfort for your bereavement? Do you not want to get help for your healing, for your infirmity, whatever that infirmity is? Basically, we like to say that people are sin sick, and sin is definitely a sickness. But Brother Tam, that is a disease unto death. And that death will be that almighty and all eternal separation from Almighty God, because the Bible teaches us that in the book of Romans in chapter number 6 and verse number 23, that's the payment of sin. The wages of sin is death. But bless God, even as you say, well, he's just sin sick. Bless God, he's dying in his sin, and he needs deliverance from that. And his only remedy is none other than Jesus Christ. He asked the question, wilt thou be made whole? Do you not want to be made whole? Do you not want to be healed? Do you not want help? My friend, I want you to be helped. I want you to be healed. I want you to be whole. I want you to feel God like you never felt Him before, Miss Lynn. I mean, so many of us come in here, we are troubled, and we are troubled. Life dishes us out things by the time that we just don't think we can handle anymore. We all get the word C in our life, cancer, and we get this. We got high blood pressure and cholesterol too high. This is wrong and that's wrong. And then you factor in a miscarriage here, and you factor in a failed a marriage there, and you factor in a wayward child here, and a runaway rebel at heart here. And the next thing you know, it's just more than we can take. But my friend, God's got the answer to all of it. Amen. I don't care what your need might be. He's got the answer. Wilt thou be made whole? Don't you want to be whole? The impotent man answered, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I'm coming, another stepping down before me. Aren't you glad that he didn't just meet any old man? Amen. Brother Kenny, aren't you glad he didn't? He said, I don't have anybody. There's no man. He didn't just meet anybody. Bless God. He was talking to the man. Amen. And here it says, sir, I have no man when the water's troubled to put me into the pool. While I'm coming, another steps in down before me. Jesus said unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Brother Woody, ask God to bless us. Let me just say, as long as you sit there, there will be somebody that God will touch. As long as you sit there getting no help at all, there'll be somebody that gets help. As much as you sit there and you just shovel it on back, there'll be somebody that takes the correction. As long as you sit there and do nothing, there'll be somebody that will get help. Brother Chris, I get something out of every service I come to. And you say, well, how can you get something out of every service that you come to? But maybe Brother Terry don't get anything. And I'm not saying you don't, Brother Terry. The reason being, bless God, I come looking. I come hungering. And I come wanting something. I'm desirous of a gift from heaven. You said, you're not going to get another gift. Brother Woody, just him walking into my presence and him taking up his abode in my life was the greatest gift that he'll ever give me. And bless God, he resides with me ever still. And I'll ask you this morning, this man had been for 38 long years. Who in here is 38 years or younger? Raise your hand. Can you imagine? 38, we got a bunch of old people. Raise your hand if you're 38 or younger. Y'all remember greater than, less than? Somebody's less than 38. Can you imagine being in a 38-year-old man, a 38-year-old woman, and the whole time having some kind of an issue, having some kind of an infirmity, having some kind of a disease, or maybe even still yet being 38 years old, still being lost and undone without God? Brother Woody, that's taking a chance. That's playing Russian roulette with your soul, because, oh, ask God, if we're not promised tomorrow, and we're not, and we are not promised the next breath in our body, but can you imagine, Brother Jody, for 38 long years having an infirmity and the cure sitting right over there on the shelf? I mean, the cure is right there in front of you. Bless God, we live right in the middle of the Bible Belt. I mean, we are the buckle of this thing, and God is here. He's on Christian radio. There's camp meetings. There's tent revivals. There's jubilees. There's youth retreats. There's youth camp. There's gospel all around us. And my friend, if you die and go to a devil's hell, you'll go against God's will, because he said he's not willing that any should perish. That man had sat there for 38 long years by the sheep market pool, just waiting for the stirring of the waters. My friend, how many times, Brother Tim, have we been in a service, and bless God, Brother Gary, the waters got a little bit stirred, and I believe they're stirred here today, Brother Kim. And when the waters get stirred up, Brother Dean, right then and there is the time for you to act upon that stirring. Right then and there is the time for you to move. Don't wait till the end of the service, whenever everybody's going to start zipping up their Bibles, putting up their coats and their this and their that. Bless God, you move while the Spirit of God's moving on you, and I promise you, he'll meet you there, and he will satisfy your need, whatever that need might be. If it's a matter of salvation, Brother John, he'll save your soul if you come in that right manner. You repent of your sin and you're humble before him. The Bible said, Brother Paul, he works in a broken spirit, in a contrite heart. I don't come down here popping your bubble gum and come because somebody else came. You come up here with a brokenness about you, saying, Lord, I've been infirm for this long and I need some help, Lord. Brother Kenny, he'll meet you right here, and I promise you he'll satisfy your need. Can you imagine 38 years? 38 years, Brother Woody, that he's lived on this earth. And all the while, Brother Woody, not being able to get around. Depending upon somebody else. Depending on somebody else to carry him here, to carry him there. Depending upon somebody else to toss him a little token of money. Depending on somebody else to clothe him or feed him because he has no means. My friend, God had taken care of him to there in a physical sin. God had given him that ability to be able to be taken there. And now he's about ready to do something beyond the fleshly. He's about ready to do something beyond the temporal. He's about ready to do something that's just going to blow this man's mind. Bless God, what did he do? Hey, you said, well, for 38 years, he wasn't able to do anything. Bless God, he met the Master. And then once you meet him, the Bible said, according to the book of Philippians chapter number 4:13, he said, now I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. He said, rise, take up your bed and walk. Wow. Do you think that guy sat around wondering what happened? Look what it says. What's the next two words in verse number 9? Whenever the Lord passed by, Miss Jan, and he said, rise, take up your bed and walk. Brother Kenny, I don't see his gerbil wheel turning. I don't see him thinking about this. I don't see him pondering this in his mind for some lengthy span of time. I don't see him sitting there reasoning in his heart, is this the Christ? Is this the man? Why didn't he trouble the waters? Why didn't he go down there and put me in whenever the waters were troubled? Brother Woody, he is the water. He don't need to stir the water because he is the water. It didn't say that he pondered it in his heart. It didn't say anything, Brother Gray. It said immediately. And I'm telling you, my friend, whenever the Lord comes by, it needs to be an immediate response. You work right then. You go right then and work out your own salvation with fear and trembling before Almighty God. You come right then and it'll be an immediate thing. It's not some 7-step process to spiritual maturation. It's just not. We don't have a patch that you put on that makes you holy. Bless God, we got a God that loves you so much that he gave his life on the cross of Calvary. Look who was down there by that pool. Verse number 3 said that there were impotent folk. You say, what's an impotent folk? That's the folks that are so weak they have no power of their own to do anything. By some device, misgiving, infirmity, whatever happened, some disease, they just can't go. They're down there by that pool. Why? Because they went to the place that they knew they could get help. Who does our board out front? Where's your brother Justin? Y'all do it. Who does the board out front? Brianna, thank y'all for not saying that the Lord is our I saw one the other day, and I wanted to get out and take the sign down. He said that Walmart's not the only saving place. And then I saw another one said that the Lord, like Walmart, is a saving place. My friend, you don't compare my God to Walmart. And I thank y'all for not doing that. Walmart's got nothing for me, okay? They don't even have a cashier to check me out anymore. They've got absolutely nothing for me down there. And whenever they say that Walmart's not the only saving place, bless God, what it's saying is you can get saved here at this church. Bless God, this is the place to get saved. You can get saved anywhere, but bless God, this is a place to hear the word of God. This is like the waters. This is like the sheep pool. This is where, bless God, Brother Chris, the waters get a little bit murky once in a while, a little bit stirred up, a little bit churned up. This is where the Lord meets with his people, and this is a good place to get saved. How many of you got saved in a church? Raise your hand. Now, how many of you got saved outside of church? You look at the big part of that. The church is a good place to get saved. Well, who all was there? Well, we saw the impotent folk in verse number 3. The Bible said there was blind folk. Is there anybody here that had spiritual insight and spiritual eyesight before you got saved? Absolutely not. The Bible says that where there is no vision, Brother Woody, what happens to the people? Ask the book. Is that right, preacher? Where there is no vision, the people perish. Well, those blind folk were down there too, Brother Woody. It wasn't just the impotent folk, but they were blind folk. The Bible said they were the halt folk. That's the people that just can't walk. And Brother Scott, we can't walk without he holds our hand. So as I keep looking through this scripture, it bears to ask, how long are you going to lay there? How long are you going to stay there by the pool? How long are you going to keep coming to church and sitting back there and never coming to get help? How long will you lay there? You said, well, he laid there for 38 years. I'm only 36. I got a couple more good years of laying in my misery. That's sad. It's so sad that you would think that, bless God, that you could stay in your miserable condition whenever help is so close. I brought one of them a while back. I've got prescriptions that the doctor prescribed medicines for me, Brother Woody. And on that prescription pad, he wrote down for Mark. And he put my date of birth. He put whatever I needed on there. He said, if you'll take 350 milligrams of this and you'll take it 4 times a day, at the end of that prescription, you're going to be feeling really good. Brother Kenny, I brought that thing home and I said, I don't need that junk. And shove it in a drawer. And I'd go ahead and I'd weather the storm. I'd weather the sickness and whatever. Most of the time, it was those pain pills that I just didn't want in my body. It was the Percocet, the Darvocet, all those things that just make you loopy and constipate you to where you don't go to the bathroom for 6 months. And I just didn't want that. The prescription could be written. The prescription can be given. The prescription can be filled. I can go see Kayla at the pharmacy and say, give me some of that. Or go see Herman or go to Walgreens or here or there and say, give me some of that. I got a prescription for it. Do you realize that it's still not going to help me? Even though the prescription's been written, even though the prescription has been dispensed, I come to the dispensary and I got my medicine and I've got it in a bottle in my hand. It's still not going to help me. And I finally take it. That's the way we are. We come to church. You're all around it. I mean, the waters are stirred. Brother Chris, it's every single time we come in here. I mean, the Lord meets with us. I mean, you say, well, sometimes I feel him more than others. Every one of us are that way. I feel him more than others. Today, bless God, he stirred the waters around here. And I'm just wondering who's going to leave here in the same impotent, lame, halt, maimed, blind condition that they come in. They don't have to. You don't have to. How long are you going to lay there? One of the sad parts about laying there, I told you could lay there in your misery. You said you still got 2 more good years of misery. What does the Bible say? We each one are going to have tribulation, are we not? That's even you, Brother Tam, that's saved. You're going to have tribulation. But aren't you glad that whenever you get miserable, and I do, I get miserable, you get miserable, aren't you glad you got a comforter there with you? But can you imagine being that way without the comforter? Can you imagine being miserable without a help? What does humanity say about misery? That it loves something. Oh, it loves company. What happens is this. When you get miserable, somebody in your household's miserable because you're miserable. And bless God, I tell you, I've seen it in my own house. When I'm up, bless God, things are going good. If Cindy's up, things are going pretty good. But bless God, if we ever get down at the same time, somebody come get some help and send us some help. Because misery does love company. I want somebody to get help. The world's going to keep on going. Nobody's going to fall off. It's going to keep on spinning. Everything's going to keep on going. You just lay there in your misery, let everything just go on around you. Oh, nobody cares. Every man of God, every woman of God, everybody I think has always been there. We've all got there at some time. David said, I looked at my right hand, no man knew me. Looked on my left, nobody was there. No man cared for my soul. We all get there. But he was wrong in saying that because the Lord cares. I'm not going to hit all my stuff today. We're already 5 after 12, and I'm just going to be quick because we're going to do, and don't turn me off here, and we're going to do a baby dedication in just a minute. Who's by the pool this morning? I would ask you that question. Wilt thou be made whole? Do you not want your healing? Do you lay beside the pool because of your infirmity? You lack the power to get up and get in? I tell you what, he'll come to where you are. He will. Did that lame man get in the pool, brother? Did he ever get in the pool? He didn't. What happened, Brother Tam? You said, well, he said that whenever the waters are stirred, somebody else gets in before me because nobody will put me in. I have no power to get there on my own, but no man would put me there. How did he get there? The Lord came to where he was at. And I want you to see that. He's come to where you're at. Chris, he came to where you were at, Preston. A lot of times people say, I kept on searching for the Lord. You didn't. He wasn't lost. At no point in his existence was he ever lost. He come to where we were because we were lost. He come to the lost house of Israel in the old Bible. He comes to us individually, Brother Tim, because we are the lost ones. We are the lost coin, the lost sheep. And he comes to where we are the same as he did that man that sat beside the sheep market pool. Brother Woody, he's sitting there. And who comes by? None other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he couldn't get up on his own power. So what happens? The Lord comes to him. And I'm hoping in that next few minutes of time, I'm not, like I said, I've got a whole message here that I've got to preach, but I'm not going to preach it. Let's just look at the folk real quick and then we'll quit. That's the folk that can't get there. They're impotent. They can't go. Then there were the blind folk. They just can't see. Maybe you don't get saved today because there's some kind of an obstruction of eyesight. You say, well, it could obstruct somebody's eyesight. I'll tell you, the biggest problem is seeing others. You see others. And when you see others, you don't see God. You say, well, shouldn't we look at you, Pastor? You can look at me all you want to. But when you do, what are you going to see? You're going to see a basket case. You're going to see a messed up person. Oh, you'll see a saved person. You'll see one of God's men saved by God's grace, called in his ministry. But you'll see flaws. You'll see flaws to him. You will see flaws. You'll see failures. You'll see mistakes and misgivings. But bless God, I hope that you can see Christ. Let others see Christ. But yeah, there was halt. There was blind. There was maimed. There was all these people. Will you stay halt? Will you stay maimed? Will you stay blind? And will you not come? I'll show you a couple things real quickly. When the Lord spoke to Abraham and told him to take Isaac, he said, take thy son, thine only son. Where did he say take him to? He said, you take him to a mount that I will show thee of. He didn't even tell him where he was going to go, Brother Woody. But he said, then you will offer him there. By faith, Abraham gets up. He saddles the ass. He gets the wood for the offering, Brother Woody. He takes the knife to slay the sacrifice. He says, come on, Isaac. And Isaac and that ass and that wood. And Father Abraham starts making their journey. He shows him then Moriah. You say, where are you going with this? I'm going somewhere. I can't imagine the heaviness of heart that must have been in this man by the name of Abraham. Because he's taken this son, his only son of promise. You say, well, he had Ishmael. This was the son of promise. This wasn't just the son. This was his son of promise. He showed him Mount Moriah. And then, Brother Tam, I imagine that that journey up that mountainside was heavy with steps. I think that his heart was heavy. At the base of the mountain, he told those that were traveling with them, he said, you stay here. We've got business to attend to. He said, and then when we're done, he said, we will return. That was the display of faith that I want you to have today. The display of faith that, yeah, the waters have been stirred around here. If I could just get my toe in. But I don't want to go up there. He's come to you already. He's already come to you. He's stirring right now. He's working in your heart right now. All you've got to do is do the easy part. He did the hard part for you. Moriah's steps got heavy. And what happened, Brother Woody, was this. Abraham didn't know it. You didn't know it when you got saved. I didn't know it when I got saved. But what God was doing was he was bringing up a ram on the backside of the mountain.
Amen.
He was bringing that lamb up the other side of the hill. When Abraham got to the top, God put it all together. Because he took Isaac and he laid him down. Isaac even made the statement, Dad, I see the altar, I see the sacrifice, I see the wood, and we've got the fire. We got it all right here, but where's the sacrifice? And he said, my God will provide himself a sacrifice. He's done that here this morning. And I'm going to, Brother Robert and Miss Kayla, we're going to do your baby dedication. But right now, this is the important part. Miss Macy, if you'll come to the piano, just start playing softly. Brother Scott, what have you got, my friend?
61.
Number 161, Jesus is calling. He's tenderly calling. Let me ask you this. How long will you stay there? Wilt thou be made whole? Do you want to be made whole? I've asked this question before, and I won't have you raise your hand, but is there anybody in here that's saved by God's grace? You know beyond a shadow of a doubt, Brother Scott, Brother Tim, you know that if you die right now, you're going to heaven. And Brother Scott, there's no question, Brother Chris, you've been saved, redeemed from the curse of the law, redeemed from Satan's grip. Brother Scott, you could swing over hell on a rotten grapevine and spit in the devil's eye. You're not going to hell. You're going to heaven. Is there anybody in here that said, that's me. I'm saved. But I wish I'd never done it. I don't think you're going to find that anywhere in God's economy. I don't think you're going to find that anywhere. Nobody's going to say, I wish I'd never done that. You might hear them say, I wish I had never delayed. I wish I had never put it off. I wish I'd done it sooner. Boy, I wish I'd done it when my kids were little. Boy, I wish I'd done it when this or done it when that. The waters are stirred this morning. I felt it this morning when Cindy and I were driving to church. On our way over here, I could feel something stirring. I just felt it. It was good through Sunday school. It was good through the singing. And it's good right now up against this altar call. I want you folks that are here to be very reverent as we stand to our feet all over the house. You go ahead and sing. But the waters are stirred. The Lord's in the house. And he's wanting to touch somebody. He's wanting to look at somebody and say, rise, take up your bed and walk.